She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And we are going to give you some incredibly important things to think about today. And I want to mention that our show is made possible due to the generous support of Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona. And the mission of Goodwill Southern Arizona has always been to provide a hand up to those looking to provide a better life for themselves and their families. They're not about handouts. They believe that jobs are transformational to that and that they can strengthen the community and families through the power of work. And I am thrilled to have them as one of our sponsors, and we're doing great things in this community and around the country with Goodwill Industries. Okay, we have another great show with an impressive guest filled with passion joining us for the next hour. The name of our show is Revolution, the movie. Our guest is Rob Stewart. I want to hear everybody, all you older people like me, Rob, R-O-B Stewart, not Rod Stewart, the director of Revolution. Rob is an award-winning biologist, photographer, conservationist, and filmmaker. He was born and raised in Toronto, Canada, and he began photographing underwater when he was 13, probably sharks, which really terrifies me. But by the age of 18, he became a scuba instructor and then moved on to earn a Bachelor of Science degree in biology, studying in Ontario, Jamaica, and Kenya. And I have to read this. And even though I'm not totally fond of long bios, this next piece is important and worth sharing. While on assignment to photograph sharks in the Galapagos Islands, Stewart discovered illegal longlining, which is awful, indiscriminately killing sharks within the marine reserve. That's in the Galapagos. He tried promoting awareness through print media, but when the public didn't respond, Rob decided to make a film to bring people closer to sharks. At the age of 22, he left his career behind and embarked on a remarkable journey over 4 years and 12 countries, resulting in the epic Shark Water film. I'm going to ask him if he's the one that inspired Shark Week, which the whole entire country goes nuts about. I see more advertisements for Shark Week than I do for the creepy Kardashians. So that's a good thing. I think it's safe to say that Revolution, the film, is a culmination of all the incredible work that Rob has done to date. So, Rob, was that one of the longest introductions you've ever gotten?
It was, for sure. But thank you for all those kind words. I really appreciate it.
It kind of sets the tone. I mean, people that listen on to our show, you have to have a lot of credibility because they go deep. You know what I mean? If they're going to watch and listen to an hour show, they want to know, who am I listening to and why should I give an hour of my time? So I like to really set it because you have got a lot of credibility. So let's start with the questions. I believe you set out a film to save sharks, which morphed into a much bigger mission and vision. So share with us what was going on with you as the mission was evolving. What inspired you to take on a major task with a big, important message? Making a film is, I wrote a book, making a film is much harder.
I started out as a wildlife photographer, and everywhere I went to photograph my favorite species, they were being destroyed. You know, in the places that should have the greatest concentrations of sharks in the world, sharks were being wiped out. And I quickly realized that nobody knew and nobody cared because everyone viewed sharks as dangerous. And so I thought if I could bring a movie to the public that showed people the reality of sharks, that they're misunderstood predators that are hugely important, not just for the oceans, but for life on Earth, that maybe people would want to fight for sharks' protection. And they did. They fought for sharks. Government policy changed all over the world, and you know, everything has been different since then. And that taught me the power of film to change the world, that if we just educate people, that our morals, our values, our humanity will guide us to making better decisions. So by the time we were done releasing Shark Water, we got to travel the world and meet some of the world's top scientists and activists and politicians. And they said, what you're doing with sharks is interesting and amazing, but you're missing the point. We're going to lose everything. And it became clear to me that it wasn't just saving sharks now, it was save the humans, and that we needed to, you know, to battle on a bigger stage. And that's what happened with us making Revolution.
The journey of a lifetime. I mean, some of those sayings that we've had forever, there's reason they've been around forever. It begins with a single step. And this is usually a question I would bring up at the end, but I think it's important because of it's a bold and important move that you call it the revolution, because there's no question about what you're trying to do in that. It's like, well, what's his point? There's going to be a revolution. So before producing the film, once it was produced, and once you started having people view the film, not the people that I call that are in the house, in the tribe, already believers, the early adopters, what were some of the reactions you were getting to the film along the way in terms of giving you hope that you were creating the revolution? What were, like, I'm talking about the man on the street that I, by and large, still believe walks around unconsciously.
One of the most inspiring things was seeing kids react to this.
Awesome.
So if you tell an adult that, you know, the world is in jeopardy, that by the middle of the century we face a world with no fish, no reefs, no rainforests, and 9 billion people struggling over what remains, they often freeze. And, you know, possibly by confronting this information, have to look back on a previously consumptive life, and they look at their cars and their jobs, and they can turn off pretty easily. But if you tell a kid, you know, our future's at stake, you know, we need to do something fast, the birds and the bees and the trees are in jeopardy, they just jump into it right away and say, okay, what do we need to do? And so that was really inspiring and gave me some hope, because just like the revolutions in the past, it was always the people most directly influenced by the problem that fought for the revolution. And now it's kids that have to fight for their future.
What a great answer, and not one that I would expect. I mean, I understand it, and I think it's great, but get to the kids, get to the parents, get to the grandparents. So that's really encouraging to me, because the last couple of weeks, my shows have been rather daunting in terms of the content that they contained. What about the, you said in there somewhere about, you know, the starvation, basically, that the loss of fish as a food source. I don't think most people know that a large majority of people in the world depend on fish as their primary source of protein. I learned that at some institutes I went to at Monterey Bay Aquarium for, you know, Seafood Watch and sustainable food. Do you think most people are aware how important it is just to have fish to eat to feed the world?
People are largely unaware of what happens in the oceans, because what goes on is out of sight and out of mind, and they don't understand. You know, life on Earth evolved in the sea, and only after that did it colonize the land. Because there's life in the oceans creating oxygen, animals could live in the terrestrial world. So at least half of the oxygen in the air that we breathe comes from life in the oceans. At least a billion, probably more, people derive their primary protein from fish in the oceans. But already 90% of the large edible fish in the oceans are gone, and 40% of the phytoplankton that gives us oxygen is gone. So we've got a lot of work to do, but the solutions are already there. Everybody knows what they are in the political world and the scientific community. We just need to mobilize enough support to make it happen.
90% of the large species are gone?
90%, yeah. So that's the sharks, the tunas, the salmon, the orange roughy, the snapper, and large fish is anything over, like it's anything dinner plate size or bigger.
Yeah, not encouraging word. I took a deep breath. Okay, on to the happy things. You did a tremendous job with the development of the website and the integration of thought in the film about the, you know, the macro picture of education. But I would appreciate it if you would go through the categories that you really highlighted: ocean acidification, overfishing, save the humans, climate change, and deforestation. We really have time, and I think that's what helps people understand the whole integration and therefore the consequences if we don't pay attention to some of these issues. Most people don't know what ocean acidification is. Thank God I do, because I'm Mrs. Green. So can you talk about that as an area of concern and why it's the first one you find when you go onto the website for people to be aware of?
Absolutely. The biggest environmental issue on the planet today, and the biggest issue threatening human survival, is ocean acidification. And it's very little known because it was really only discovered about 10 years ago. It's kind of like the evil brother of climate change. The carbon that we emit into the atmosphere doesn't stay in the atmosphere. It gets absorbed by the ocean. The oceans are the biggest regulator of temperature, of gases on the planet. They're the most important ecosystem we've got. So as the oceans absorb carbon, they become more acidic. And in an increasing acidic environment, any animal that builds shells or skeletons can't form and at some point literally starts dissolving. So that includes coral reefs, which are home to 25% of the ocean species. Mm-hmm. That's fish, that's phytoplankton, which is most of the oxygen in the air that we breathe, and that's zooplankton, the largest biomass of any creature on the planet. And studies and scientists are pretty well unanimous that at least 4 out of the 5 mass extinctions in the last 500 million years that have wiped out most life on the planet, including the one that ended the reign of the dinosaurs, were all caused by changes in ocean chemistry. And so we're now causing these changes to happen at least as fast as in those mass extinctions.
If not accelerated.
So a far more important thing than climate change would be the potential reset of the oceans, which would, reset life on Earth. So that's one. The second one is deforestation. Since humans really began rocking it on this planet, we've cut down 75% of the world's forests. And so that's a massive amount of carbon that we've cut down. And it's also a lot of life that we've removed from ecosystems. And that life is ecosystem services. It processes water. It keeps humidity. So removing 75% of the forest has a massive detriment on the Earth's ecosystems and on, the Earth's ability to house humans. With the oceans, we've been fishing so inefficiently that often the studies report we waste between 40 and 54 billion pounds of dead fish every year. Fish that's pulled out of the ocean, killed, and thrown back into the ocean because it wasn't our target fish.
It was a bycatch.
Expensive one. Bycatch, yeah. So if we, switch to more efficient methods of fishing, we could probably continue to fish the oceans, just not destroy everything in the process.
And can I just press pause here, because you're probably more current on this than I am, but in terms of the bycatch, aren't there actually regulations and mandates and laws that fishermen have to abide by, that if they're out to catch tuna and there's this incredible amount of bycatch that they get in their nets, they are forced to throw it in? Throw it back. They can't come and
They're
bring it to market.
It
so that's, I know that in some of the areas, somebody I had on a show over a year ago was trying to get legislation or policy changes in some or bigger fishing areas, but that's literally just fish they catch that could feed people and they have to throw it out.
It's true.
That's really disgusting. Okay. So we have overfishing, and I want to go back to ocean acidification too, because what about, like, two things that are of such concern to me recently are what shape are the oysters in all along the Pacific Northwest? Because a friend of mine, Jim Beiser, just in talking on a board we're on, said, his friend owns a lot of the area up there, and the tiniest percent of increase in the water temperature is devastating some of those areas. And then the starfish, it's like, what's this? There's a starfish, epidemic as well. So can you speak to those?
I'm not the best expert to speak to those in particular.
Okay.
But rest assured,
they're in trouble.
Yeah. As we change ecosystems, you're going to see consequences ripple across, because the environment that we look at right now has evolved in a relative stage of stability. So when you change the temperature a little bit, everything kind of changes. And when you change the acidity, the chemistry changes, and that affects whether animals can build their bodies or not.
And I encourage people, for the big look at ocean acidification, your website is really amazing, content-rich. It could be used in classrooms. So on the website, which is therevolutionmovie.com, there's a 4-minute film about ocean acidification. So if you look at it, you can understand it, why it's important, and why we should all care a whole hell of a lot about what's going on. So anyway, there's profanity on the air, which I promised I wasn't going to do. Okay, so ocean acidification, overfishing, and then you have a category, save the humans, bringing it, front and central. Talk about that. Why should we care so much about what's going on in the ocean? I live in Tucson.
no matter how far you live from the ocean, your daily actions have massive and profound impacts all over the world, including life in the oceans. And we depend on life in the oceans to survive. You know, it's the greatest regulator of climate. It's the greatest regulator of oxygen. And so we need to be considering that first. 90% of the habitable space on planet Earth is in the ocean. So Save the Humans is our effort to try to position the environmental movement as something different. So thus far, environmentalists have been considered radicals. Trying to save pandas and tigers and elephants hasn't worked because it's trying to say something external to us, where if we look at the environment as our life support system, understand it in a new way, then we'll understand that saving the environment is really saving ourselves. And perhaps by doing that, we can start focusing our economy, our governments, and our lives on bolstering the environment and bringing back the world we depend on.
And one of your quotes that I loved, and I'm telling you, your website is so good. It took me an extraordinary long amount of time to do the research because you want to watch every film, every video. And one of the quotes that you have on there that is so important for the people that make it all about the money, if it's not about the money, it's about the money. We haven't even begun to acknowledge that environmental collapse will make economic collapse a foregone conclusion. Rob Stort, Save the Humans. So you have to tie this so inextricably bound to our economy. It's like, it. Come on, people. Join the revolution.
Yeah, our economy derives from the environment. And the current problem right now is that we've built systems of growth and systems of capitalism that evolved in a time when we had an infinite amount of everything. And now that we've got 7+ billion people and we're running out of stuff, we need to change some of those systems. So, you know, it's not an insurmountable task. Studies have shown that it would cost $200 billion a year to revolutionize our world and create something that works, and that's a quarter of the U.S. military budget. So these tasks aren't out of reach. The problem lies in the fact that the short-term exploitation is enormously profitable, and governments are, you know, only in power for short periods of time, so long-term accountability is not really there.
And you're right. I mean, the money's there. It, just don't say the money isn't there. It's how you decide to break up the budget. And I'm not very encouraged from the world perspective about what how much people are paying attention to that. We're still building some pretty big, expensive bombs. And you also point out on the website, and everybody, I have really, really loyal listeners, growing number. Look at this website. You will thank me. Take a Saturday morning or a Saturday afternoon. If you have kids, sit down with them. The videos are beautiful. And there are things like people and animals live in every inch of the earth, in every kind of terrain and every kind of climate. It makes us feel, me, so connected, like we're one big organism and parts of our bodies are truly dying. So that's a lot of the feeling I got from your website. It's like we're all connected, and you point it out in such a real an educational way that's easily understood. Okay, let's talk about, you put a category of climate change. I mean, is that the place from which it all comes, or is it just a really important category?
No, the climate change has been positioned as a banner for the entire environmental movement,
right.
And it is neither the most important nor the most urgent. It's just the first, you know, really real problem that arose that's gathered everybody's attention. And I think it is a distraction because, you know, if you live in Canada and you think about the climate changing, you think the world's going to get better. You know, we'll have longer growing seasons, less brutal winters, warmer summers. So climate change is very much a distraction. It's more the massive consequences that ripple through the ecosystems that carbon cause, and that's where people should focus. But as the climate changes, many things do change. You know, we change ocean currents, we change species, habitats and migrations, and seas will rise. So it is a big issue, but I think in terms of that and in terms of these issues, we need to be talking about them as a whole. And right now, part of the problem is, as an environmentalist, you are immediately pitted against the biggest industries in the world, the biggest governments in the world, and the biggest civilizations in the world. So you're immediately a radical and immediately an underdog.
Right. It polarizes everybody. Yeah. It's just like, go to the corner. Go to your corners and put the gloves on. And, you know, we are, believe it or not, I really am always excited when this happens, kind of, but we're already up on our first break. So that seemed like a really fast 5 minutes, and it was almost 20. So everybody, please stay here with me. We'll pick up when we come back about deforestation, which is the last piece in education. And then we're going to talk a lot about the call to action, because you have a lot of things that people can do so they don't feel overwhelmed. Everybody, stay here with me. You won't want to miss a minute with Rob Stewart, director of Revolution, the movie. We'll be right back.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at mrsgreensworld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at mrsgreensworld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the Igloo radio app. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. We are a proud member of the Dream Vision 7, Glimmer Glass, Green Radio Divas, Blog Talk, and Speak Up Radio Networks. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@mrsgreensworld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World next.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And today we hope you're thinking a lot about oceans, because they are in grave danger. I use these words, clear and present danger. It was a great movie, but now we are living in a clear and present danger in many situations. The name of our show for this hour is Revolution the Film, or Revolution the Movie. Our guest is the director of that film, Rob Stewart. In addition to what I've already shared with you at the beginning of the show about Rob and his work before making Shark Water, which I think gave birth to Shark Week and all of the exciting things about sharks, Stewart spent 4 years traveling the world as chief photographer for the Canadian Wildlife Federation magazine, leading expeditions to the most remote areas of the world, and I mean remote. He has logged thousands of hours underwater using the latest in camera and rebreather technologies, or rebreather. Rob's highly sought-after images have appeared in nearly every media form worldwide. And to verify that very statement, just Google him. So I'm going to tell all of my loyal listeners and podcasters what's going on. When we were pre-recording the show the other day, Rob, in the middle of the show, said, "Oh, I didn't know the show was an hour. I have to go." Right in the middle of the show. And there are some of you listening to this that will just chuckle and say, "Alrighty then." So with great aplomb, I said, "Okay, well, that's never happened to us. When can we reschedule?" And we rescheduled for 8 o'clock. This is the day of the show on a Saturday morning. And so far, I have been unable to reach Rob Stewart. I do believe he is a very busy person, and I am ever hopeful that he will call back and that we'll get some information from him about the rest of the show. And you guys know me. I am going to try to really talk a little bit about what his big, he's got a big dream and he's got a lot of calls to action. And I don't believe that this film was meant to be just a, you know, go to the movies and watch it and everybody say to whoever you went with, "Wow, that was really good." And end of story. He did not, because his website is so content rich, and he so successfully incorporates what I call, he has the integration of thought about why the oceans matter so much to our very lives. We have to protect them. They feed millions of people. So let's get on with the world and care about the oceans. And he's so successful at getting everything to be complementary and making sure that we know. So before we went to break, we were talking about, he had five areas: ocean acidification, which we spoke about, overfishing, save the humans, climate change, and what we were going to come back to was deforestation. And of course, trees are a vital organ in our planet and for our survival. And our forests are controlled by climate. They cycle water, they protect soil, they store carbon, they supply medicine. So much of the world's medicine are derivatives of plants and herbs that are found in our forests. So it's even a further threat to our very health, not just the air we breathe. So then you have, they produce more than 40% of the world's oxygen. That's a big number. So most of the time when you're taking in one breath, it's from a big, huge forest somewhere. Currently trees cover about a third of the earth, which is a big number. They're home to about 90% of the world's large base biodiversity. And I love the numbers. You guys know I love the numbers. 90% of the world's land-based biodiversity and half of all known species live in tropical forests. Indigenous people around the world rely on forests for housing and food, their very livelihood, while the developing world relies on forests for a range of products. And in some ways, from what I see, that part of the developing world, it is being managed better. Old growth forests, what very few of them are left, are being protected. There are lots of activists around the world that are doing it. So when you're thinking about oceans, you have to think about forests, because why? Oh, why? We're only one planet. So what does the loss of deforestation mean, and how rapidly is it happening? So deforestation, which is the loss of forests around the world, is occurring, hold on to your seats, at an astounding rate of 1 football field per second. So that's devastating. We're doing some progress, but around the world in places where they're cutting them down to get to oil or cutting them down to raise cattle, 1 football field per second. That really gets you. You get a visual, you get kind of sick to your stomach, I hope. And then the other astounding statistic is that less than 10% of the Earth's original forests remain. So we have successfully, in a very short time as a planet, destroyed 90% of old growth forests. We're losing forests, as I said, to clear cut agriculture, for agriculture and ranches, and also still for wood and paper products. And unfortunately, we all know, very topical subject, to natural fires and fires used for clearing land. Excuse me, everybody. Whole ecosystems are collapsing due to humanity's constant demand. I mean, the forest just can't take it. And I love Rob's website because he talks about, I mean, this is a great guy. So I'm not going to be mad at him that he didn't call for the show. And hopefully you guys are getting a little kick out of it. Okay, Mrs. Green will be Rob Stewart. Actually, I'll be Rod Stewart. So it'll be a little bit more age appropriate. But anyway, tree evolution has actually changed little in the past 70 million years. And it should not be forced to change now due to deforestation. Around the globe, you can still find trees that are 4,000 to 5,000 years old. There's a Dane tree forest in Australia that began 160 million years ago, and it is the oldest surviving rainforest in the world. And we're losing these vital ancient trees for deforestation. And I don't know about you, but it makes me sick, sad, and angry. So I get all kinds of emotion. And of course, it doesn't take rocket science to figure this out. The more trees we lose, the less oxygen we have to breathe. I mean, that's a very simple statement. So breathing is kind of essential to my life. So let's protect those trees, says Mrs. Green, tongue in cheek. And also, forests absorb carbon that is released into the atmosphere through the burning of fossil fuels like coal, oil, and gas. Unfortunately, humanity produces more carbon than the world can absorb. And with less trees, guess what? Again, not rocket science. You just have to think about it. More carbon will be absorbed by the oceans, causing ocean acidification, which we talked about earlier in the program. That's our biggest threat. In other words, the loss of our forests could result in the loss of ecosystems around the globe. And let's just say it honestly, ecosystems around the globe are being lost. And part of my mission and vision and passion is about getting listeners and friends of friends and friends of listeners to learn more about all of these issues, including our beautiful forests and the devastating deforestation that is going on, causing all kinds of things to happen that are really just not great. And there are organizations that are helping. And just remember for this part of it that forests are the lungs of the earth. I mean, let's say they are absolutely the forests of the earth. Now, another part that I hope I can be adequate in covering is it looks to me as though, and this is, would be a great question for Rob, it seems to me that one of the most important things we have to get to on every single global issue involving sustainability is collaboration. We can't continue to have one organization do this and another organization do that and another organization do this unless there's collaboration. I call it cross-pollination, integration of thought and purpose. Out there, there's Oceana doing great work. I'm going to talk a little bit about them and an email I got from them this morning. The Sea Shepherd Conservancy, most people know about that because they do whale wars and they're great. There's Blue Ocean. There are organizations out there that are really working to provide support, and they're doing some of the rapid and massive shifts that need to occur to slow down the trajectory that I believe we're on. So there are more than just films like The Revolution, the movie. There are organizations whose very purpose every day is preservation of the ocean. And it's because it's really important to life itself. So I think that people get depressed about all of these issues. And what can we do? And that was one of the most important questions. And you all know that I love to have calls to action on the show. And I'm going to go through some of the ones that Rob requested. It's a, like I said, it's a very good website. It would be a great website for a teacher or a parent or anyone who has the social conscience of the very threat to the earth that our loss of ocean species at a rapid rate is going to mean to all of us. It's really something we should all be paying attention to. And who doesn't love the ocean? So the first thing that Rob asks is for support. Help kickstart the revolution. I mean, this is a man who set out and said, I'm going to start a revolution. And you got to love anybody that does that. I am starting a revolution on the airwaves. We don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. I'm getting a revolution going about thinking, because thinking typically leads to some intentional action. So one way that you can do it is go to Rob's website. It's therevolutionmovie.com. And again, excuse me, it's very dry here out in the desert this week. We're going to see 106 temperatures. So help Rob Stewart's revolution to save the planet. Make a donation. Help save the cause to save sharks and the environment. I'm going to take a little drink right here. Thanks for your patience. All funds that are raised will go to educational content that brings awareness to environmental issues and conservation projects. He says, join the natural revolution to save the natural world and make planets a beautiful place for all species. I think this guy is the real deal. I mean, I looked and he was doing some of the filming with Jacques Cousteau's son and, you know, people that are unbelievable ocean lovers and that get involved in a big way. And the way that he does it, it's the new way. It's like crowdsourcing. Crowdfunding, GoFundMe. He just asks for you to do whatever you can. And there's not a major amount. You know, you don't have to start with a donation of $100. And to me, that is really always a good one call to action. If you don't want to get out and sign petitions and become a full-time activist, every little bit of money helps for him to keep feeding his website, for help him to keep food on the table for him, to help his staff. He's got a lot of things going on that you can do to help really be the change. I mean, he wants us to get involved in some way. Another way that I really support is to take action by signing a petition. It's so easy. It's just really an easy way to get active. They come in every day. You don't want your mailbox to be filled with lots of email, because sometimes I go up and I've been on a show and I look at my email and I'm like, ah, I can't stand how many emails there are. But you can quickly sign a petition, and you don't have to just sign a petition about ocean acidification. There are so many areas. Pick one that loves you. You can create a petition. It's a powerful form of collective grassroots expression to gather support and supporters and demonstrate the strength behind a cause. People, the politicians and people in government and the policymakers are listening. They have been changing government. They're doing it more and more frequently because of the power of the internet. It makes it easy for you to sign. In most cases, you do not have to pay a penny. I sign petitions all day long. I usually add a personal message because I know I want my message to be heard, and you can commit to signing a petition a day. It doesn't take very long. If you're married, ask your spouse. If you have children, ask them to do the same thing. Ask friends to do the same. That's what's going to happen to cause these revolutions. See what kind of big action and attention can be brought about just by signing a petition. There are many causes that need attention. It's not possible to pick everything. Pick the cause that touches your heart and get going. It's really, I tell you, I sign a petition every day. They come into my inbox. I give it a quick look and I just sign it. And on Rob's website, under sign petition, take action, it's under the changes that he supports, change the world, which is, this guy is a big thinker. He gives you websites where you can go and start a petition. And you know what? I have not done that yet, but I want to. I really do want to start my own petition. And there are so many causes that I care about that I haven't picked one yet. But you can go to the petitionsite.com, or the one that I'm very familiar with is change.org/start-a-petition. Now, I don't even think you could do that 5 years ago. And I see change.org, there's moveon.org, and it matters. I mean, all of a sudden, Congress is getting a petition that gathered 90,000 signatures in a couple of hours, and they start watching it. They might not change their actions yet, but when numbers get up there in the 900,000s and in the millions, they're getting attention. So it's such a simple, easy to do. if you don't want to start a petition and get something signed, you can start an awareness campaign about your cause. And maybe it's about the increasing rise in autism. Maybe it's about the starfish that are dying by the thousands all along the Pacific Northwest. Who doesn't love a starfish? So you can just go to a website called dosomething.org and you just start an awareness campaign. That's all. You send out an email, you say what your cause is, and you can say, are you aware that the projection is for rates of autism to go from 1 out of 50 children to 1 out of 20 to 1 out of every 2 over the course of the next 30 years. So it doesn't have to be about the oceans, even though I think everything is all connected because that's going to impact our food supply. And I think food and the environment has a lot to do with autism. I'm not really off on a tangent. And see what you can find about deep in your heart about wanting to do something. It really makes you feel good. I wanted to do something. I really wanted to do something. So I started a radio network. And I don't think lots of people are going to do that, but you never know. And they'll be maybe kicking me to the curb and saying, yeah, I started one because I heard your show and look what happened. And then he does highlight on the website, and again, therevolutionmovie.com, there are some top petition and activist sites, and one of them is CARE2, and it's CARE2. It's the largest and fastest growing social action network. And are you ready for this? It has over 16 million members, 175% growth in unique visitors year after year. CARE2 owns and operates a number one site for petitions. That's the petitionsite.com, generating 24 million signatures in the past 24 months. So see what I mean, everybody? It's 24 million signatures in the past 12 months. They have apps on Facebook and a network for over 100 revenue sharing partners. And guess what, folks? they reach over 150 million people a year. So let's go. I mean, there are things that are happening that are all about not the sadness, but the sadness, the devastation, the acceleration of that, and then the call to action that's going to hopefully shift all of this around. Now, believe it or not, I mean, I'm doing this and I love it and I hope you're loving it. We're going to go to a break. And when we get back, I'll talk more about what Rob's call to actions are and how you can help support the oceans, healthy oceans, and a little bit about Shark Week. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Mrs. Green and maybe Rob Stewart.
Mrs. Green's world's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the Earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And you're actually listening to Mrs. Green. I just love being Mrs. Green and having my own radio network and having wonderful listeners like you that do tune in, that do send me emails, that do download up the podcast. It can be heard on iHeartRadio now, on iTunes. We're everywhere. Blog Talk, Igloo Radio app, Green Divas, they're promoting the heck out of us, Dream Vision 7, Speak Up Radio. Our show is really being carried around the country, and we're pretty proud of that. If you just joined us in the middle of the podcast, for part of our show today, we had an amazing guest. The name of our show is Revolution, the movie. Our guest for the first half or first 20 minutes was Rob Stewart, the director of Revolution. And I do want to tell you a little bit about him. He's an amazing guy. He had to leave in the middle of the pre-record taping yesterday, and life happens. Rob is an award-winning biologist, photographer, conservationist, and filmmaker. He was born and raised in Toronto, Canada, and he began photographing underwater when he was 13. So he had the bug. He had the underwater bug. And by the age of 18, the ripe old age of 18, he became a scuba instructor and then moved on to earn a Bachelor of Science degree in biology, studying in Ontario, Jamaica, and Kenya. I mean, this guy knows his stuff. His website is amazing. The movie is amazing. And we just didn't connect. He had to go in the middle of the show yesterday, which was quite a surprise. But another little piece I wanted to tell you about him is he produced the movie Sharkwater in 2007, and it got a lot of attention. And now, of course, you know, that's what I was going to ask him, if Sharkwater morphed into Shark Week, which is promoted for about a month before it comes on. People are absolutely and positively enthralled with sharks. I, on the other hand, am totally terrified by sharks. But he really has filmed thousands of hours underwater filming sharks and other sea critters, and he's a pretty amazing guy. The other little shout-out I want to do, and we actually had someone do this, so little bit of plug for Mrs. Green's World to help us remain free and independent. If you enjoy our shows like this each week and you're downloading them, consider support of what we call our PBS / NPR model of broadcasting. Help us stay free and independent and help support the production of this show and our wonderful team by visiting MrsGreensWorld.com. Click on the Preserve the Planet. Preservation of the planet is not an option. It's a necessity because we could certainly use your help. So let's go on, and I'll act as though I am Rob. We left with signing a petition. And I think of all the things that you could do to become an activist. That's a really good one because it's so easy. And there are so many things at your fingertip, from your mobile device, your iPad, your telephone, your computer, to just make a stand on one issue. It doesn't matter what it is. And if you have an issue that you don't think is being depressed, covered enough, do it yourself and send it to everybody on your email list and say, this cause is near and dear to my heart. The park in our neighborhood is filled with, you know, junkies and needles, and it terrifies my kids. And then that petition goes to your city council. So it's just not that hard to become an activist, and signing a petition is another one. The next step is what Rob recommends, and this is why I think this is such a great curriculum, not just a movie, but a movement, is he does an intro to activism. And I really wish he was here to talk about it, but here you've got me, and you can tell I'm enthusiastic, and it's how I live my life. I'm an activist. I'm a localist. I'm many things. So he gives an introduction of activism. What is an activist? And I love it. I do this in my newsletter sometime. The doctrine or practice of vigorous action or involvement as a means of achieving environmental, political, or other goals, sometimes by demonstrations, protests, etc. Now, I have not been in a protest in a very, very long time. I will tell you that is one of my stated goals, to be in one, because there are lots of hot issues out there. So the opportunity will present itself when Mrs. Green hopefully will march herself somewhere or fly herself to somewhere and be a true activist physically with my body present, because I feel as though Mrs. Green's World is truly all about activism. Every week we are getting great information out there with great guests talking about our planet, the clear and present danger in which we're living, and what you can do about it, because to know better is to do better. So from his website, Rob goes into why the future of humanity is threatened. It's consumption and the destruction of our life support system. We're killing ourselves. I made a joke the other day about we really don't have to worry about any threats from foreign nations. We're doing a great job. And I said it sadly, tongue in cheek, and also to be kind of attention getting. We don't have to worry about any of that. We're doing a great job with killing ourselves. And that's a very sad thing to say. Children are dying younger, adults are dying younger. And of course, I'm a radical. I believe that so many of the challenges we face are environmental. That's the bad news. The good news is we have all the tools to solve the problems. Again, I don't think I've ever coughed so much on a show. It's dry here in the desert. Did I mention that? I'd love a little bit of water here, Mr. Green. So when we talk about the clear and present dangers, hold please for a sip. Thank you for that. So comes the unprecedented opportunity for us to correct the flaws of pre-revolutionary civilization, to step up our game, to become heroes for the ecosystem, to become a champion of Mother Earth. That's what I like to say that I am. I am a spokesperson for Mother Earth. Then I say I'm an international spokesperson for Mother Earth. Then I say I am Mother Earth. So don't get too carried away, because I'm not. But there are species that you love. There are incredible places you love to visit, even if it's a park in your neighborhood. And we as human beings are the only ones capable of protecting the environments in which we live and in which we love. It's an incredible world for human beings, incredible for millions of other species. And we all know we cannot blame the species, because they're not doing it. It's the people on the planet that are encroaching, that are trashing, that are killing, literally through the plastic and other things, killing the species. So you know what we've got, guys. We've got the internet. We've got social media. We have more technology in our phone than what got us to the moon. So if you have a phone in your hand, maybe not a flip phone. There are still some Luddites that use flip phones, and that's okay. We love them. But there's more than a million charities and conservation groups around the world working for the greater good. So from Rob's perspective, and from my perspective, doing the show every week for 8 years, the revolution has never been stronger. What we need is big change and activism, and it's what humanity has always done in the face of atrocity. Human beings get to a point where they say, enough, enough already, we're done. And they are then inspired to action. So that's what we need to do. They make it happen. Everyone knew we needed equality. That's a perfect example. And we just needed to push people. We got laws changed. And unfortunately, that's one we're still working on a little bit. And here's another distinction that I think is really important that Rob and his team articulated so wonderfully. Myth: only protesters are activists. The reality is anyone can be an activist. An activist is someone who takes action to make things better. And he even cites a website. It's www.activist.ca/. Think about it. Martin Luther King brought more than 1 million people to Washington, D.C. to usher in equality. The largest environmental protest that we've had in Washington has numbered in the tens of thousands. The walk they had for climate change in New York City, the beginning of last year, millions. I don't remember the number, so I don't want to exaggerate. I love to exaggerate, but I won't. So become an activist. I love saying that I'm a localist because it gets people's attention. Well, what's a localist? Well, 90% of the time when I am making a purchase, my printing materials, the signs I get made, wherever I eat, if I'm buying a camera, even locally owned gas stations, we go out of our way to support locally owned business. Okay. Another thing, if you want to take it another step, Rob, actually, if you say, Mrs. Green, I am so inspired. I'm going to get on this. How do I do it? He gives a package. He's got a package on his website under Change the World, and he says become a social partner because all of that helps. Believe me, in Mrs. Green's world, we are watching who retweets us, who shares a Facebook post, who makes a comment on LinkedIn, who watches our blogs. We've been putting up some great blogs lately, and it matters because you don't want to be doing this just for the sake of doing this. So when you become a social media partner, it really matters, and it does help change the world. We want everybody listening to Mrs. Green's World to follow us on Facebook. Oh, by the way, we went over 4,800 members this past week. Mrs. Green was watching. And to me, it's not just about the numbers. It's about the quality of the engagement that's there. So if you're going to become a social media partner and a partner in the revolution, commit to being engaged and doing a like or posting a comment or doing a share, because that's what being a partner really means. It doesn't mean just signing up and then going away and waiting for a special off coupon that you might have. So what Rob does on Revolution website, it's therevolutionmovie.com, he asks you to look at his package. And the package is number one, it's Revolution Trailer. Tweet and Facebook posts with the trailer linked included. I mean, that's a great thing to do because when you tweet something out about revolution, I think it gets attention. It's a word that means something in our language, and we have had revolutions. The American Revolution, that's why we're here. There's wonderful examples of that that were effective. And then number two, he has an ambassador call to action, tweet and Facebook posts with image included. And if you are connected to an organization that would like to become an ambassador, they have included a cover photo for you to use on our page. And that's something that I don't think we've done yet, but just reading this and looking at it and knowing about it, thank you, Rob. I hope he'll listen to his own show someday. Have a little fun with that, but you can become a revolution ambassador. And what I think about when I'm talking about these things is that many, many people are wondering, what can I do? And they don't really know what to do. So this is an opportunity for you to have the package all done for you and gather the troops. Three friends, two friends, five friends, your family, you and your spouse and your kids. Say, we're going to start a revolution. Have some family parties. It costs nothing but your time. And it is so, so drastically needed. Have a Mrs. Green sustainer party. Invite me. I'd love that because we really want to pump up the volume on what we're doing and it can be done for any amount of money. So anyway, I just got a email from Rob, and if Mr. Green is willing, he can call Rob and get him on the show, and we can close out with him. We have about 6 minutes, and he's got the number, so we'll see what we can do, and I'll bring him up to date on what we were doing. And isn't it just, life is never just one piece of boring, continuous action in Mrs. Green's world. This show has been an interesting one to pull off. It was not without its challenges. I had a personal family emergency when we were originally supposed to do it, and then he had to leave for it before. And so we'll see if he can do the last 6 minutes. And I want you to hear from him and have him be able to close off the show, and it will go down as one of Mrs. Green's most unusual show. And of course, for all you regular listeners, I'd love to get an email from you or a call or a text telling me how we have done. And I don't think Mr. Green is getting him on the phone. So anyway, hopefully we'll have him back. So Revolution Social Media Ambassador Package. Great idea. You can do it. And it's, like I said, where I got a little bit interrupted because I saw the email come into my feed. And then he says additional social media assets. So he's put in additional posts. It's so easy and wonderful once a cause that you believe in gives you the information. And I always encourage people on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever they are, when you include them or tag them, don't just make it look like a retweet. Add your own personal attention, because that to me is what being a real social media partner is. So share the trailer, tweet, do Facebook posts, be an ambassador, a call to action, and just become a social media asset. The pictures on his websites are amazing. So you will be very, very happy to see what he's done, and you'll be proud to tweet these things out or to put them on Instagram. And one of the last things he recommends that I hope we'll get to in the time we have finished, I think we only have about 4 minutes left. So yes, Mrs. Green can do it because she does her homework. So he encourages us to become an activist through conservation and not-for-profit organizations. And folks, believe me, I do this. There's one out there. There's a budget for everyone. Just check it out. You can look at his page, and it's under the conservation page. Be a conservationist. And, you know, he says, hello, revolutionaries. Revolutionaries, they present their favorite organizations. I happen to agree with him on a lot of them. One of mine that I support is Oceana. We had Ted Danson and Andy Sharples on the show decades ago, and they are the single largest organization in the world dedicated solely to the preservation of the ocean. So they're working on it. And I'm a big, I think it's really important to find a water project, because we're running out of clean water everywhere. But what worries me even more are the, depending upon who you listen to, either save 750 million or 1.3 billion who don't have access to clean water every day. And that just makes me sick. It's like everybody should have the ability to have a glass of clean water each and every day. One of the ones I want to highlight that he does support under wildlife, of course, is our very own Jane Goodall Institute. This woman is keeping on kicking. She has not slowed down a bit. She has a Roots and Shoots program. She travels 300 days a year. If you want to get more involved, Jane Goodall Institute. And in general, there's an organization called Bioneers that I would like to get more involved in. So the message of my show is, folks, just do something. And again, I don't think I've ever plugged it as much. Become a sustaining member of Mrs. Green's World. You can do it for $10 or $100 or $8.34 a month. So we need you to continue with our safe, free, and independent, not safe, but free and independent broadcasting and our fun. And I don't like to use the word need. We would love to have your support. Everybody, I did it. Next week, Matthew Sullivan, Assistant Professor of the Departments of Microbiology and Civil, Environmental, and Geodetic Engineering from Ohio State. Please plan to join us. Make it a great green week. And thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's World, everybody.